Did you know optimal health is personal and possible while having a hormonal disorder? You can. I'm Clarissa, and I'm here to help you build a beautiful life one step at a time while navigating your hormones. Listen and Know will help you develop knowledge and understanding of the messages your body is sending you and give you courage to act on those messages. We'll talk about the ups and downs of health journeys and conditions. And along the way, I'll share my experiences of clients in my health coaching business, Adagio Fit, and share my own personal experiences of life with PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I am so happy you're here because that means you're ready to listen and know your body to live a full, beautiful life. Let's talk. Well, hello to you all. I'm so excited that you are here listening to this, but as well, I'm excited to be here. It's been a long time since I have done a podcast. I started in 2017 and went through 2018 and then stopped due to life circumstances. And we went through a pandemic and now I'm back with a lot more experience, a lot better teaching, and I am thrilled to be able to share this with you. I really wanted to create a podcast specific to hormonal disorders. I have seen an epidemic in my clients and in just the population as a whole that they don't know about hormones. They've been given such a bad rap and our lives technically run on hormones. And so I want to be able to talk about those things, hormonal disorders and what can come with that, throughout this podcast so that you can listen and know your body, because hormones are just chemical messengers giving you, messages, and how to decode those and use those for your own personal health is important to me. And I feel a need to educate and share on that. So today we are going to talk about, in this episode one, we are going to talk about premenstrual disorders. This is near and dear to my heart, so I feel like this is a great segue into everything else that we talk about and will talk about here on Listen and Know. So premenstrual disorders are a group of symptoms that occur in the week or two before a woman's period. These symptoms can range from mild to severe, and they can interfere with a woman's daily life. The most common premenstrual disorder is premenstrual syndrome, which is PMS. This is a term that has been used for years and years and years, and I remember that as a kid and beyond, previous to my own menstruating. But PMS is a condition that affects about 80% of females. Symptoms of PMS can include mood swings, irritability, fatigue, bloating, breast tenderness, craving of food, headaches, bloating, and then also we have premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is a more severe PMS, and we'll talk about that in a second. So most PMS symptoms can be cured or minimized by taking care of your health in nutrition, exercise, sleep, and stress management. That's something that I teach here in my podcast and with my clients here at Adagio Fit, is we talk about those pillars of health, about all the things we can do to minimize our symptoms so that disorders are not just rampaging through our body and creating destruction. I think that there's a point in time where we can only do all that we can do, and then we do need to rely on medicine and doctors, and we can have a team. And I'm excited to share with you a little bit more about how to build your team as we go on through this podcast. But PMS is just mostly known. I feel like PMS gets a bad rap that it will occur in all women, which is not true. It doesn't occur in all women. But then when it does, it's like this stay away thing. Versus if we look at the symptoms of PMS, usually each of those symptoms are telling us something that we can do better in our bodies or that our bodies are needing. So just because a symptom is common doesn't necessarily mean it's good or normal. Okay. So that's PMS. That That was something that I experienced. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced, whether to a certain degree or up. This is something about premenstrual disorders, but as well as all other hormonal disorders, we have a spectrum of severity between a little bit to a lot. And PMS is kind of at the beginning of that spectrum. Now, let's move into PMDD or premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So this is the disorder that I have. It's a very severe form of PMS taken to the extreme next level. It affects about 2 to 10% of women that have been diagnosed, but they are saying that it can even be upwards of 1 in 12 women that have PMDD, but then we're looking at even adding onto that for those who have not even been diagnosed yet. Like I said, PMDD is a more severe form of PMS, and it is, well, we'll talk about that in a second too. So let's talk about the symptoms of PMDD. So PMDD symptoms can be severe mood swings, anxiety, depression, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts and ideation, difficulty concentrating. Then we have like physical symptoms of fatigue, insomnia, heavy cravings that kind of overwrite chemical, like overwrite all rationale. And then we have like abdominal pain and bloating in physical signs of your menstrual cycle and bloating as well. So then following along PMDD and PMS, we have what's called PME. Now, this isn't necessarily a disorder caused by hormones, but PME is premenstrual exacerbation. So that means that you have a previous condition, but because of the hormones in your body, that condition is heightened to a new level. So this occurs when the hormones changes during the weeks before menstruation, and any pre-existing disorder like depression, generalized anxiety disorder, bipolar, schizophrenia, those conditions get worse. I've even seen clients that have like OCD that gets a lot worse during your premenstrual phase, which is your luteal phase, the 10 to 2 weeks before your menstrual cycle starts. So it doesn't cause new symptoms. It just heightens already existing symptoms. So those are kind of the three disorders that we really work with. We have PMS, PMDD, and PME. What causes these disorders? Well, most commonly known is that these disorders have unknown causes. It is thought that they can be caused by a combination of hormonal changes, stress, and lifestyle. So, as we do treatment, we look at the lifestyle of a client. Like as I work with clients, we do a lifestyle check of the client and we work on those things. We can also work on managing stress and then making sure that we know and understand when our hormones are changing and again, what messages those hormones are sending to us. Premenstrual disorders are treated in a lot of different ways. There's no cure for them, but they can be minimized in symptoms and managed. Treatment options can include like what we talked about, lifestyle changes. So this is like exercise, nutrition, sleep. Then there are things like medication. There are several medications that can be used to treat premenstrual disorders because bodies use medication differently due to your genetic makeup. So what I may take, somebody else might not need, or I might take a lower dose and somebody might need a higher dose. These medications can be antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, and pain relievers, or a combination of those three put together. For me with PMDD, I take a medication 14 days out of the month. I don't take it the other 14 days, 14 to 16 days, but I take a medication 14 days out of the month. I'm at a very low, mid between low and medium, there we go, dose of this medication. And then I also have an anti-anxiety that I use when I may be having a PMDD episode that is extreme. And then I also use pain relievers such as ibuprofen or Tylenol to help minimize my physical symptoms of headaches and pain that I experience, cramps and those things. I also will use sometimes a water pill or vitamins and minerals to also help assist with my health. And that sometimes looks different every single month, depending on where I'm at in my lifestyle, right? So, and what I have eaten, because what we eat becomes our body. So another way to help in treatment is therapy. Therapy helps women to cope with their emotional symptoms and premenstrual disorders, to give them tools that they can apply in certain areas to help them navigate when those irrational thoughts come in. I know that I love my therapist. Sometimes we have to shop for therapists, which will be an up and coming episode, but really making sure that you feel listened to is number one. And number two is making sure that you're getting tools to apply and work on, and that you do work on those tools and, when you are outside of your therapy, because it's super easy in that room when there's no other stimuli coming in. But if we practice those things on good days, then when the bad days come, we can actually cope. One of the best types of therapy that has been shown to work is CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And that is just changing your mindset, making sure you're looking at your thoughts and really dissecting those and working with those. And I can't wait to talk about this in the future. But there are things that we can do ourselves to help with our premenstrual disorders, where we aren't necessarily relying on doctors or medications. So some of these are that I even do as well. Keeping a journal. So I have a journal that I write in on my good days and the things that I am really focusing on. I actually even have a gratitude journal that I write 5 things in daily. Every morning I write 5 good things that happened from the day before to just start my day out on a really good foot. Also, I have what's called a burn journal, where when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I just write down all my thoughts. I don't shame myself for having them. I write them all down and then I burn it later. So there, I have 3 different journals. Now that has been something that I have created over time, but it did start with just keeping a gratitude journal as consistently as possible, because writing 5 things was a lot easier than writing my thoughts down, big paragraph form, trying to make sense and trying to be stressed or pressured about people reading that in the future. Then my burn journal is something that I've kind of always done since I was a teenager, keeping my own diary, but now it's separate from the good days, because I know that those thoughts that I have during my premenstrual disorder are usually irrational, even if they feel true. So I've come a long way in that. It used to be just all one journal, or not keeping a journal at all, but I definitely recommend keeping a gratitude journal to focus on the good so that your brain keeps coming back to that. And then during the hard days, you can look back at what you wrote down and try and help your body remember what has been good. Something else that you can do for a premenstrual disorder is to avoid caffeine and alcohol. These substances, just due to their nature of stimulant, can exasperate and make your premenstrual syndromes a lot worse. With this being said, I take a pre-workout when I do a workout that has caffeine in it. And then during my premenstrual disorder, my PMDD, I try and stay away from as much caffeine as possible. So I will take my pre-workout in the morning, make sure that I'm going to get a good workout to burn it off, because if not, that caffeine can wreak havoc in your body if you're not burning it off. So, and then try and limit that any other time during the day, which I try and do all month, but sometimes I like myself, I'll have an extra workout, or I will need a caffeine boost to give me energy throughout the day. My body handles that better outside of the premenstrual phase or luteal phase right before my period. Something else you can do is to get regular exercise. So exercise helps improve the mood and reduce stress. Like when we think about like Legally Blonde, like happy people just don't kill their husbands, right? So that is something that is a must for me, as I have, that is the easiest thing for me to work on is exercise. I go 1 hour to 2 hours every single day, except for Sundays. And even on Sundays, I find myself just needing to burn off the crazies. So we'll go on a walk or whatever. But I love movement. That's something that works really well for me. But when we work out for about 30 minutes, our body is actually burning the hormone cortisol. It uses cortisol and it burns it off. When you sweat, you're actually sweating out cortisol. So it's not just salt, your sweat and water. It's actually other hormones that we are burning off. But when we hit from 30 minutes to 1 hour, we tend to build more cortisol. Our body kicks into gear and stress and wants to produce more cortisol. So my recommendation there as a coach is to, during those premenstrual days that you're really struggling or you feel low, or your disorder is heightened, to only go up to 30 minutes and to create like a, on a scale of 1 to 10 of intensity of workout, be like a 5 or 6. So we're paring back the intensity of our workout and making it a little bit shorter so that we keep the re we keep reduced stress instead of causing stress. Something else you can do is to eat a healthy diet. So this is something that I teach and I coach. I teach women how to eat healthy for their bodies, for their hormones, and eat in hormone support. It helps regulate our hormones. When you think about it, our hormones are built from the food we eat, right? Our body can't just make hormones. They've got to make it from something. That's a law of nature. We can't make something out of thin air. We have to have substance in order to make something. And so when you are creating hormones, you're actually creating hormones from the food we eat. Our skin becomes the food from our skin is from the food we eat. Our energy is from the food we eat. Our bone health is from the food we eat. Our mental health is from the food we eat because that all uses energy. And where does that come from? That comes from the food we eat. So as we take care of our diet and clean up our diet, which I'm so excited to talk about, that like really gets me going, we can reduce symptoms because we are cleaning up our diet, therefore creating healthier hormones, and then those hormones function better in our body. Something else to do that you can do is to work on getting enough sleep. Sleep is essential for emotional and physical health. 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours is the recommended amount of time. When I am in premenstrual disorder, when I am in that luteal phase, my PMDD phase, I actually need like 9 to 10 hours of sleep. And so I'll have to take a nap during the day. And one of the reasons is because my sleep is not rock solid. I toss and turn. I have lots of hallucination dreams, nightmares, those kinds of things. I'm very sensitive to stimuli. And so I don't sleep very well. So I actually need extra. And because of that, I don't get as much done during the day. So I that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to listen and know our bodies, because when I understand, I'm not going to get enough done throughout the day for me to feel as accomplished as I feel on my good days. I can accept that and be more graceful with that versus like trying to fight that because I don't really know what's going on. And so it's really important for you to gauge your sleep. Sleep trackers are super helpful with that. They're not exactly accurate, but they can give you a good measure of the sleep you are getting, and maybe if you were very active in your sleep or not. And you can always tell when we sleep, our body is pretty much taking out the trash. So if we're not sleeping enough or we are not sleeping well, our body can't take out the trash and it actually builds and builds, and then we kind of explode like a volcano sometimes. Something else you can do to help PMS, premenstrual disorders, PMDD, PME, is to talk to a doctor. If you are experiencing severe premenstrual symptoms, it's important that you talk to your doctor. They can help you develop a treatment plan that's right for you. Remember, sometimes talking to a doctor, we have to shop for a doctor who is going to listen to us. It took me about 7 different doctors just since my baby was born. So my baby is now 8 years old. When she was born, it took me about seven doctors to float through for somebody to actually listen to me that I was having these problems and they were not all in my head. And so it might take you a little bit to shop. Usually asking, like Facebook's a great place to just ask for suggestions and then doing your own research. You need to be your own advocate. If you don't like what the doctor's saying, you need to tell him. And see, you know, in a very nice way, say like, hey, that just doesn't feel right. Is there something else we can look at? Can you give me other ideas? Like you want to be able to have a team. You in charge with them giving you input that you then can take versus just take this medication and come talk to me in 2 weeks. Like that isn't helpful. So really you want to be listened and heard too. So talking to a doctor, developing that plan. And I specifically love that my therapist and my doctor have worked together versus sometimes we go into therapy. And I have experienced this in the past where they'll tell me to not do what my doctor has asked, or vice versa. I'll go, I've gone into a doctor and said, hey, my therapist recommended this. And my doctor had laughed at me and said that that was just a joke and said, here, take this medication. And if most of you females know, you probably know what category of medication that was. So, and we'll talk about that. But, you want to be able to have somebody who respects what you're bringing to the table, but you also need to bring something worthwhile to the table. That's setting your own boundaries. That's bringing information that you have studied in. And honestly, that kind of has made my doctor, who I just love, it's made her make sure that when I'm coming in to talk to her, that she has done her own research because in premenstrual disorders, it's kind of a new area of disorder that is given when you are diagnosed. So it's kind of this new science and so much is coming. When I first was diagnosed myself with my doctor with PMDD, there was only PMS and PMDD, and it had just barely, PMDD had just barely been put in the diagnostics manual. However, now about 8 years later, yeah, because my baby's eight, there's now PME as well, and they're showing that it's on the spectrum. It's not just either or. So I love like the new science that's coming, and you want to make sure that your doctor has that new science as well. So premenstrual disorders are a common problem that has significant impact on a female's life. However, just because it's common does not mean that it is good for your body, or it's a good symptom to have, or a good problem to have. There are so many treatments available that can help manage the symptoms. And from what I've seen from my clients and forums that I'm a part of, it's usually a mix and match due to your lifestyle, due to your intake of food, due to your stress levels, and due to your genetics and that disorder in and of itself. If you are experiencing premenstrual symptoms and see that they are causing hiccups in your life, like it's not just like a little afternoon stint or something that a nap can possibly help with, but like if it's truly impacting and causing gaps and edges and ridges and ravines in relationships and in your ability to function every day, please reach out to a doctor so that you can get the help you need. If you would like to, on my website, I have a place where you can schedule a consultation with me one-on-one, and we will kind of dive into your history, and then I help give guidance as to what type of doctor or who to look for, or maybe the type of symptoms that you can have that then we work one-on-one together with. So I love to do that. That's my offering, is that I don't want any female to ever feel like she has nobody to talk to. And because I felt that way, I definitely felt like I couldn't find the help that I needed. And I want to be able to offer that to somebody, or even just a coach and a well-wisher and a cheerleader, to give guidance to you on your journey of health within your hormones. So, in conclusion, my hope is that you were educated and that your life was maybe impacted by this, to show that having optimal health with a hormone disorder is possible, right? I hope that I live my life in such a way and I share the knowledge that I have in such a way that you feel like you do not have to be dictated or limited by your hormone condition or hormonal disorder. I hope that you learned maybe a little bit more about your body, maybe where you lie on the spectrum of PMS to PMDD to PME. But also that maybe you thought about ways that you can make some changes in your health. With all of everything that we talked about, I love to give a challenge at the end of every podcast that I do or every session that I do. And my challenge to you today is for you to think of one thing that we talked about that you can start doing, one thing that you can stop doing, and one thing that you can continue doing within your hormone health. That's my challenge that I offer you today. Also, if you maybe know somebody who might benefit from this information or other podcasts that I've done or coaching with me, and these ideas, please share this podcast or send them to my website, www.adagiofit.com, or Instagram at adagiofit, where I have resources, past podcast episodes and articles, and like I said, the ability to sign up and coach with me one-on-one or in small group or take an online course that I have developed to all to be able to help with hormones and hormonal disorders. And due to my experience with PMDD, that is what has stemmed everything. So this is very personal to me. Finally, this podcast is in no way to replace primary healthcare physicians. I'm not a doctor, I'm a coach, and I ask that you consult with your primary care physician if there's anything that you want to implement in big changes in significant health changes in your life. And I appreciate you joining me, and I am looking forward to a future full of talking about how to keep our hormones healthy, how to listen and know our bodies, and all the things that we can do to help make health personal to you and possible. All right, we'll see you guys next time.